What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you on this Wednesday. We're going to go ahead and hop on in it, man. We're not going to waste too much of your time. Got a lot to cover. Got a lot of football to talk about. And we're in the middle of the that is so confusing to say. We're in the middle of the spring 2021 season. Swag football coming at you live and direct. We're in week four, so that's a good thing. You know, we're making it through, but as usual with this COVID stuff, you know, you have to take it game by game, week by week. And we've already been struck with some delays because of the COVID situation. Prairie View is not playing Alabama A&M this weekend, and they're not playing Jackson State the following weekend. Those games have not been rescheduled yet. Honestly, I don't see how they're gonna squeeze those games in unless they move some games around. So Prairie View is not gonna play again until April 10th. Hopefully, when they face off against Southern, and then they have a game on April 17th against Pine Bluff, which leaves April 24th, and then May 1st is the championship game. So that's gonna be tough. Gonna be really tough to see how they do this. They may be able to move some games around and make some things happen, but right now, those games have not been rescheduled. So we're short a game on the schedule this week. So we have three games on the schedule, and we're gonna go ahead and start with the first one, and that's the team that everybody is talking about, the team that everybody is aware of, and the team that is the bell of the ball right now, and that's Jackson State. They take on Alabama State in Montgomery on Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff. And this honestly is a game that should be pretty good. Alabama State hasn't played since February 26th when they lost to Southern, so it's gonna be they haven't played at all, and so they're gonna have some things to work out. And Jackson State is on a roll. They defeated Everett Waters 53-0 to start their season. They beat Grambling 33-28, and then they beat Valley 43-7. So they're on a roll. They're coming in at 3-0, 4-0 on paper because of the Alcorn opt-out. So they're sitting good. And they've been showing flashes of being a good team. They've made some plays, and then they still have some things that they kind of need to clean up a little bit, but they're looking good. They're coming in right now averaging 43 points per game. They're allowing 11.6, 32 rushing first downs, 33 passing first downs, 4 by penalty, good for 69 total first downs. Opponents 25 first downs, rushing 23 passing, 4 by penalty, good for 52 first downs. Jackson State has ran for 629 yards on 123 carries. That's good for 5.1 yards per carry, 209 yards per game, 8 touchdowns. The opponents, 349 yards rushing on 112 carries, 3.1 yards per carry, 116 yards per game, 4 touchdowns. Right now, Jackson State is 56 of 87 passing, 735 yards, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. That's 245 yards per game. The opponents, 52 of 94, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 447 yards passing, 149 yards per game. Total offense, Jackson State, 1,364 yards on 210 plays. That's good for 6.5 yards per play, 454 yards per game, 18 total touchdowns. The opponents, 796 yards on 206 plays. That's 3.9 yards per play, 265 yards per game, 5 total touchdowns. Right now, Jackson State is averaging 35 yards per punt. The opponent's 35.7. Jackson State is 20 of 39 on third down for 51%. The opponent's 10 of 42 for 23%. Jackson State is 1 for 2 on fourth down for 50%. The opponents 5 or 10 for 50%. Jackson State has fumbled 8 times and lost 3. The opponents have fumbled 6 times and lost 1. Jackson State has 11 sacks on the season, opponents 1. Jackson State is 15 or 18 in the red zone, 12 of those are touchdowns. The opponents are 5 or 8 in the red zone with 5 touchdowns. Jackson State is led in rushing by Tyson Alexander, 36 carries, 263 yards, 7.3 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. That's good for 87.6 yards per game. Kimani Clark, 45 carries, 189 yards, 4.2 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, 63 yards per game. Jalen Jones, 26 carries, 120 yards, 4.6 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, 40 yards per game. Greg Williams, 11 carries, 57 yards, 5.2 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. That's good for 28 yards per game. Jalen Jones, leading passer, 43 of 64, 593 yards, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, 197.6 yards per game. Quincy Casey, 13 of 21, 142 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, 71 yards per game. Daylon Baldwin, 16 catches, 301 yards, 18.8 yards per catch, 5 touchdowns, 100 yards per game. Warren Newman, 17 catches, 159 yards, 9.3 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, 53 yards per game. Corey Reed, 9 catches, 139 yards, 15.1 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 45.3 yards per game. Kylan Ritchie, 4 catches for 59 yards, 14.7 yards per catch, 19.6 yards per game. Christian Allen, four catches, 41 yards, 10.2 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 20.5 yards per game. Defensively, Keontae Hampton leads the team with 30 tackles. Miller, 23. Arrington, 15. Shaw, 12. Adams, 11. Pillow Smiley, 10. Crane and Reagan with 9. Carter, Paul, and Warren each have 8. Berthley also with 7. Hooks with 7. McIntosh with 7. Barnett and Dunn with 5. Gladney, Mitchell each have 4. Lopez, Lyles, and Willis each have 3. Tackles for loss. Crane, 3. Miller, 2. Dunn, 2. Arrington, 1.5. Pillow Smiley, 1.5. Reagan, 1.5. Clark, 1.5. Hampton, 1. Warren, 1. Hooks, 1. Mitchell, 1. Lopez, 1. Lyles, 1. Paul and McIntosh each have 0.5 tackle for loss. Sacks, Dunn, 2. Crane, Pillow Smiley, and Clark each have 1.5. Arrington, Mitchell, and Lopez each have 1 sack. 0.5 sacks apiece. Go to Reagan, Lyles, and McIntosh. Interceptions. The only interception right now they have is by Trey Lockhart. So right now, you know, it's Jackson State is doing what they have to do right now to win games. You know, they've played Grambling, who is a formidable opponent, and they look good. They had a few turnovers in that game, but they're able to get the victory on the road. And then the other two games were honestly two teams that they took care of business, which is what they were supposed to do, blowing out Valley and Edward Waters. You know, the Valley game probably could have been worse than what it was, because Valley didn't really put up any struggle, but Jackson State did what they had to do, and they got the W. So this is going to be a little bit more of a tougher affair for them, but not unmanageable. Alabama State is going to come into this game at 1-1 on the season. Obviously, they have only played one game on the field, and they have a forfeit win from Alcorn. So they haven't played, as I said, since February 26th. So they're going to be pretty rusty. This is honestly probably not the kind of team that you want to come from a few weeks off to face, but you know, it is what it is as far as schedule goes. Alabama State is they're going to be led by a redshirt freshman quarterback who showed some flashes in that game against Southern. So they do have a capable running attack, but I always still feel like their offense doesn't really scare you. I think the defense is pretty solid, especially up the middle. So that's going to be a challenge for Jackson State when it comes to running the ball. Statistically, right now, Alabama State is averaging 21 points a game. They're allowing 24. They have 12 rushing first downs, 8 passing first downs, 2 first downs by penalty, still for a total of 22 first downs. They've allowed 8 first downs rushing, 4 passing, none by penalty, good for 12 first downs. They have 125 yards rushing on 48 carries, good for 2.6 yards per rush, 1 touchdown. The opponent's 139 yards on 36 carries, 3.9 yards per rush, 1 touchdown. They are 16 of 28 passing for 149 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. The opponent's 10 of 22 for 135 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. Total offense, 274 yards for Alabama State on 76 plays, 3.6 yards per play, 3 touchdowns. The opponent's 274 yards on 58 plays, 4.7 yards per play, 3 touchdowns. Alabama State averaged 41.8 yards per punt. The opponent's 45.7. Third downs, Alabama State was 6 of 17 for 35%, 2 of 2 on fourth down. They fumbled twice and lost both. They had 1 sack. They were 2 for 2 in the red zone. Both red zone scores were touchdowns. The opponent's 3 of 12 on third down for 25%, 0 for 2 on fourth down. 3 fumbles, lost all 3. 6 sacks for the opponents. 1 for 3 in the red zone, and that one was a touchdown. Alabama State is led in rushing by Ezra Gray with 14 carries for 73 yards, 5.2 yards per rush. No touchdowns. Ja'Cory Merritt, 17 carries, 65 yards, 3.8 yards per rush, 1 touchdown. Keyron Jones, 1 carry, 10 yards. Ryan Nettles, 15 carries for minus 5 yards. That's mainly sack yardage, minus 0.3 yards per rush. Ryan Nettles, 16 of 27 passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 149 yards complete, 149 yards passing. Michael Jefferson, 5 catches, 47 yards, 9.4 yards per catch, 1 touchdown. Jahal Booker, 5 catches, 43 yards, 8.6 yards per catch. Jeremiah Hickson, 1 catch for 32 yards and a touchdown. Terrence Ellis, 2 catches for 12 yards, 6 yards per catch. Abdul Diop, 2 catches, 10 yards, 5 yards per catch. Defensively, Colton Adams lead the team with 11 tackles. Rodney Echols with 5, James Burgess, Urshaw Davis, and Daniel Troutman with 4. Brunridge, Howard, Webster each have 3. Clark, Culpepper, Ogletree, Rompersod, Rivers, and Smith, Tarver, and Terry each have 2 tackles apiece. Tackles for loss, Howard, Terry, West each have 1 tackle for loss apiece. Adams, Davis, Webster, and Rompersod each have a half a tackle for loss apiece. The 1 sack was credited to the team, and no interceptions. So Alabama State, obviously, they have their work cut out for them. They, like I said, they've been off since February 26th. So they really have to hit the ground running. I think Jackson State is going to give them some problems, especially with a quarterback who only has 1 college start under his belt. And he looked good in spurts against Southern. And then in other spurts, he looked like a freshman, a guy who hadn't played football in like 2 years, well, 3 years actually. But not exactly, the kind of guy that you really want to trot out there against a team who's rolling right now and is really still looking to make statements every week they step on the field. So this is not going to be an easy game for Alabama State. I'm just never really sold on them offensively, and that's a problem. I think that they're capable, And they do have some good pieces. Ezra Gray is a really explosive running back. Michael Jefferson is a really good wide receiver, although he did have some costly drops against Southern. Ja'Cory Merritt is another back that I think probably should get more carries because, you know, he's a little bit better in between the tackles. But this is not going to be an easy game for Alabama State. I think they can put up a fight at home, but I think Jackson is gonna win this game. I'm gonna say 30-20. I just don't see, you know, a team who hasn't played that much this year being able to beat a team who has, this will be their fourth game under their belt. So I just, you know, Alabama State hasn't really shown me enough offensively to really give me, you know, confidence in picking them. I think defensively, I think they can keep the team in the game, but I think they'll wear down as the game goes by. So I look for Jackson State to pull that one out. All right, the next game that we have is Pine Bluff heads to Grambling for a noon kickoff, take on the Tigers. And momentum is a weird thing sometimes. You know, when you win a game, you know, sometimes you kind of want that bye week to come to settle your guys down in case, you know, if you won a game that you, a big game, a game that you may not have had any thought of truly winning. But sometimes you want to keep playing and keep that momentum going. And I think this is one of those games for Pine Bluff. Coming off of the Southern game, this just may work in their advantage because that was an emotional game. And I think this gives them a chance to sit back and regroup, you know, instead of coming right back out the next week and maybe being flat. Now they have some time to refocus because they're going back on the road to play in a place that's not easy to win, regardless of how Grambling is doing at any given time. It's not an easy place to win at. But this is an opportunity, I think, for them to kind of refocus and you know, regroup and recharge and come back ready to play. And Pine Bluff, you know, they played a really good first half against Southern. And second half, I thought they didn't play as aggressively, and I think they kind of bit them a little bit, let Southern get back into the game and close that gap on the scoreboard when they really had a chance to kind of put Southern out of their misery early and get that game over with. But I think they kind of lost the aggression and didn't do what they had to do to pick up a blowout victory. But a win is a win, especially on the road against a team who is a top contender in your division. So this was a huge feather in their cap. And also, I mean, continued the trend from last year, getting a big victory at Alabama A&M, you know. So now the key is to build on that and continue to grow and win, you know, not winning a game and then falling off because you happy you beat that team and not focused on the next team and the team after that, which is, you know, the championship mentality. And that's something that's got to grow and develop in them. But they're a very capable team. Like I said, they scored 33 points in that one game. They allowed 30. They had 7 first downs rushing, 12 passing, 1 by penalty, good for 20 first downs. The opponent, 7 first downs rushing, 14 passing, 2 by penalty. That's 23 first downs. They ran for 188 yards on 37 carries, 5.1 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. The opponents, 134 yards rushing on 34 carries, 3.9 yards per rush, 1 touchdown. They were 22-37, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 223 yards. The opponents, 24-39, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 292 yards. Total offense, 411 yards on 74 plays, 5.6 yards per play, 4 touchdowns. The opponents, 426 yards on 73 plays, 5.8 yards per play, 4 touchdowns. Again, you know, those numbers on one side of the ball, they look good. On the other side, they don't look good. But, you know, when you win a game, you know, you kind of take that for what it is and you move on. Defensively, they do have some things to clean up. I thought they, you know, they allowed some big pass plays and allowed themselves sometimes to be nickel and dime down the field without making that key stop. And then other times they were really aggressive and they made those stops. They were 8 of 18 on third down for 44%. They didn't go for a fourth down. They fumbled. They didn't have any fumbles. They had one sack. They were 4 of 6 in the red zone, 3 touchdowns, 6 of 15 for the opponents, 40% third down, 2 for 3 on fourth down for 66%. One fumble and they lost it. The opponent had one sack. 4 for 4 in the red zone for the opponents, 3 touchdowns. Pine Bluff was led in rushing by Skylar Perry. 8 carries, 56 yards. 2 touchdowns, 7.3 yards per rush. Omar Allen, 10 carries, 54 yards, 5.4 yards per carry. Mateus Clark, 15 carries, 52 yards, 3.5 yards per carry. DeJuan Miller, 1 carry for 21 yards. Perry was 22 of 37, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 223 yards, 59% completion. Tyrann Ralph, 7 catches, 86 yards, 12.2 yards per catch. Josh Wilkes, 4 catches, 84 yards, 21 yards per catch, 1 touchdown. DeJuan Miller, 2 catches, 23 yards, 11.5 yards per catch. Harry Ballard, 4 catches, 19 yards, 1 touchdown. Allen, 3 catches, 10 yards, 3.3 yards per catch. Defensively, they were led by Askew with 9 tackles, Watts, 9, Peppers, 8, Thigpen, 7, Akins and Steele with 6, Mitchell, 5 tackles, Smith, 4, Bentley, Brooks, and Johnson each had 3, Harris and McKinney with 2, tackles for loss, Askew 1.5, Akins 1.5, Watts 1, Thigpen 1, Peppers and Mitchell each had 1/2 a tackle for loss apiece, and sack was by Askew, and interceptions came from Thigpen, Steele, and Johnson, and they're facing off against a Grambling team who really at this point is not really looking that good. It would not be an understatement to call them a disappointment right now. The offensive coordinator, Mark Orlando, stepped down this week. And they have not really found the going to be good for them. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, a shortened season can really heighten the awareness of your struggles. Because you don't have a lot of time to fix things. You don't have, you know, you don't necessarily have a non-conference slate to kind of work some kinks out and see where everything falls at. And that's, you know, that's their undoing right now. You know, they lost 2 games and they both were basically close games. They lost by 5 to Jackson State and they lost 17-10 to Prairie View. So defensively, they're doing okay. I mean, they allow 16 less points in between week 1 and week 2, but offensively they dropped 18 points. So, you know, I don't know if the coordinator stepping down is a knee jerk reaction or if that's was something that was just already kind of building up and this was the time to go ahead and get it out of the way, but this is not a game for Grambling to not be able to do anything offensively because Pine Bluff is definitely a solid offense. And that's going to be something that Grambling is going to have to try to take advantage of and find some consistency somewhere. Right now they're averaging 19 points a game. They're allowing 25. They have 22 first downs rushing, 20 passing, 4 by penalty. Good for 46 first downs. The opponent's 21 first downs rushing, 16 passing. 2 by penalty, that's 39 first downs. Grambling has run for 287 yards on 91 carries. That's 3.2 yards per rush. 4 touchdowns, 143 yards per game. The opponent's 446 yards rushing on 87 carries. That's 5.1 yards per rush. 223 yards per game, 3 touchdowns. Grambling is 43 of 63 passing, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. 443 yards, 221 yards per game. The opponent's 27 of 46, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, 397 yards. 198 yards per game. Total offense, 730 yards for Gremlin on 154 plays, 4.7 yards per play, 365 yards per game, 5 touchdowns. The opponents, 843 yards on 133 plays. That's 6.3 yards per play, 421 yards per game, 7 touchdowns. Gremlin is 12 or 13 on third down for 40%, 2 or 3 on fourth down for 66%. They fumbled 3 times and lost 2 of them. They have 2 sacks. They're 5 or 8 in the red zone. All 5 scores were touchdowns. The opponent's 20 or 31 on third down for 64%. No fourth down attempts. Opponents have fumbled 4 times and lost all 4. 8 sacks for the opponents. 5 or 7 in the red zone with 4 touchdowns. A couple of things stand out when you look at these numbers. Obviously, Gremlin allowing 8 sacks is not good. 2 interceptions by your offense, you know, hurts you because both of these games were one score games. And you lost the Jackson game because you fumbled on your way to scoring the winning touchdown. So turnovers definitely have hurt Gremlin. The inability to have a consistent run game has hurt. Opponents have been able to run the ball against Gremlin, and you know that's something that typically doesn't really happen, not to the extent that it's happening right now. So those are two things that really need to be, you know, a few things that really need to be cleaned up. CJ Russell leads Gremlin with 22 carries for 86 yards, 3.9 yards per carry, no touchdowns. Brooks, 15 carries, 75 yards, 5 yards per carry, no touchdown. Hickbottom, 24 carries, 74 yards, 3.1 yards per rush, 1 touchdown. Elder, 23 carries, 48 yards, 2.1 yards per rush, 2 touchdowns. Hickbottom, 35 of 51 passing, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, 350 yards. That's 175 yards per game. Walker, 8 of 12, 93 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Clark, 14 catches, 166 yards, 11.8 yards per catch, 1 touchdown. James, 7 catches, 96 yards, 13.7 yards per catch, no touchdowns. Ross, 9 catches, 82 yards, 9.1 yards per catch. Johnson, 4 catches for 25 yards, 6.2 yards per catch. Brooks, 2 catches for 20 yards, 10 yards per catch. Richardson, 4 catches for 20 yards, 5 yards per catch. Russell, 3 catches for 20 yards, 10 yards per catch. And Grow, 1 catch for 14 yards. Defensively, Fontenot leads the team with 19 tackles. Matthews, 17. Powell, 16. Mitchell, 14. Anderson, 13. Dunn, 13. Martin, 8. Estes, 7. Fields, Green, Sheffield, Stewart, and Williams with 6. Richardson with 5. Foster with 4. And Reed with 3. Tackle for loss. Powell, 2.5, Matthews, 2, Fontenot, and Anderson, Sheffield, and Williams each had 1 tackle for loss. Mitchell, Dunn, Martin, Richardson, and Carter each have 1/2 a tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, Powell and Matthews each had 1 sack. Interception by Estes. So this is a game that's very intriguing. You know, it's a game that I don't think Pine Bluff is head and shoulders better than Gremlin. They're playing, you know, because the one game they played, they looked good in the majority of the game. Gremlin looked good in spurts, and other spurts they looked bad. But they've been in both games that they lost, 1 by 5, as I said before, and 1 by 7. So they're not, you know, they haven't gotten blown out, even though they haven't gotten off to the best of starts on offense. And then defensively, they've allowed more rushing yards than I would imagine that they are happy with. But Gremlin is a team that you can never count out, and especially playing at home. This is one of those games where I feel like I don't think that Pine Bluff had the nerve or the will or want to overlook anybody, but this is a game that I think that if they get caught thinking about Gremlin not playing well, Gremlin's 0-2, you know, they got a new offensive coordinator. or whatever the case may be with the staff, that, you know, you could walk in here and do what you want and come out with a W. I don't think that's gonna work out very well for Pine Bluff if they approach that game in that manner. This is a test for the staff, because having a new coaching staff, you know, sometimes coaches can get caught up in the emotional situations as well. This is where Coach Gamble is gonna have to dig deep and make sure that his guys maintain focus and don't think that they got everything on lock because they beat Southern. So this is a game that I'm honestly 50. Well, I'll say I'm like 60-40 as far as how I feel one way or the other. I really want to go with Pine Bluff because they have the better offense, and I think they're more consistent, but they still have some issues on offense. Their running game outside of the quarterback was not that good. I mean, they had a couple good runs, but nothing spectacular. No back really stood out. They're still able to get passed on, but I don't know how much of that is because they had a lead and they kind of let up, or, you know, what's the actual deficiencies on their defense. But right now, I'm gonna pick Pine Bluff to win this game. I'm gonna say 24-17. I really think this game can go either way, but right now I think just looking at it on paper, I think that they're playing better than Grambling at this point on paper. So that's a situation where I think that they'll find a way to win this game. I would not be surprised if Grambling really hung in there and made a game out of this and put themselves in a position to win. Because, like I said, Pine Bluff still has some things to work out on their own, and Grambling obviously has some issues. So we really we'll keep our eyes on that game. And we're going to go into our final game of the week, since Prairie View and Alabama A&M are not playing. And the last game of the week will be Southern heading to Houston to take on Texas Southern. That's a 7:30 kickoff. And these two teams, I don't really want to say they're going in different directions, because the one thing that you have to kind of be cautious about when you look at teams and you evaluate teams and, you know, you think about the way they're playing, is you have to look at perception. Southern had a very uneven and oddly uncharacteristic game for them against Pine Bluff. Not that they lost, but how they lost. And they had a up and down first game against Alabama State. Because Southern is a favorite in the division, you know, they're looked at right now by a lot of people, including me, as not being really good per se. You know, you don't really know what you have with them. Texas Southern, on the other hand, had an 0-11 season last year. They got one win on paper because of Alcorn, and they lost a close game to Prairie View in a game that Prairie View had control early, and Texas Southern made a run late. So they're getting better. Obviously, you know, you can't be bad forever. And I think they're improving, you know, significantly. But this is going to be one of those situations where you really don't know what you're getting out of this team until you step on the field with them. And they've been competitive against Southern the last couple of years anyway. So this is a game that, regardless of how each team came into this game, this is a game I think Southern would definitely have to have been weary about. And that doesn't change right now. Southern obviously had to spend that bye week doing some serious soul searching and recalculating and recalibrating of what they do and how they do it, because they haven't done anything well at all this season. Honestly, they haven't done much that I could say is Southern football, because they just haven't looked good in any of these, either one of these two games. They haven't consistently looked good. And that's been their downfall. Southern comes into this game averaging 27 points a game. They're allowing 27 points a game. They have 15 first downs rushing, 18 passing, 2 by penalty, 35 total. 19 first downs for the opponents. Rushing, 20 passing, 3 by penalty. That's 42 first downs. Southern has run for 273 yards on 70 carries, 3.9 yards per carry, 136 yards per game, 2 touchdowns. The opponents, 313 yards rushing on 85 carries, 3.7 yards per carry, 156 yards per game, 3 touchdowns. The opponents, Southern, 31 of 64 passing, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 213 yards per game, 427 yards of passing offense, 38 of 65 for the opponents, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, 372 yards, 186 yards per game. Total offense, Southern, 700 yards on 131 plays, 5.3 yards per play, 350 yards per game, 7 touchdowns. The opponents, 685 yards on 150 plays, 4.6 yards per play, 7 touchdowns, 342.5 yards per game. Southern is 9 of 27 on third down for 33%, 2 of 5 on fourth down for 40%. They've allowed 4 sacks. They have 4 sacks. Read that wrong. Southern has 4 fumbles and lost all 4. They have 7 sacks on the season. 5 of 7 in the red zone, 4 of 07 are touchdowns. The opponent's 14 of 35 on third down for 40%. 2 of 2 on fourth down for 100%. They fumbled twice and lost both. And the opponents have 2 sacks. 6 of 8 in the red zone for the opponents. 5 of those 8 being touchdowns. Darius Skelton leads the team with 16 carries for 93 yards. 5.8 yards per rush. 1 touchdown. 446 yards per game. Devon Ben, 26 carries. 62 yards, 2.4 yards per carry, no touchdowns, 31 yards per game. Gerard Sims, 11 carries, 55 yards, 5 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, 27 yards per game. Muhammad, 6 carries, 24 yards, 4 yards per carry, 24 yards per game. Nelson, 4 carries, 24 yards, 6 yards per carry, 12 yards per game. Jones, 1 carry for 14 yards, 7 yards per game. Lampley, 3 carries, 13 yards, 4.3 yards per carry, 13 yards per game. Lampley leads the team in passing, 20 of 33, 238 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 238 yards per game. Skelton, 14 of 28, 189 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, 94.5 yards per game. Hinton, 8 catches, 107 yards, 13.3 yards per game. 13.3 yards per catch, no touchdowns, 53 yards per game. Marquise McClain, 7 catches, 63 yards, 9 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 31 yards per game. Perkins, 1 catch, 59 yards and a touchdown. Valiant, 5 catches, 52 yards, 10.4 yards per catch, 52 yards per game. Howard, 3 catches, 50 yards, 16.6 yards per catch, 50 yards per game. Sims, 4 catches, 39 yards, 9.7 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 19.5 yards per game. Ben, 2 catches for 25 yards, 12.5 yards per catch, 12.5 yards per game. Defensively, Lewis leads the team with 14 tackles, Williams 12, Ivy 10, Papillon 10, Square 10, Anderson and Foster with 9, Farmer 8, Carter, Cotton, Eastling, and Tate with 7, Nash 5, Smith 5, Caldwell 4, Jones 4, Givens, Johnson, Ream, and Rivers with 3. Tackles for loss, Lewis 6.5, Ivy 2.5, Square, Anderson, Farmer, Tate, Caldwell, Givens, Johnson, and Jones each have a half a tackle, a loss apiece. 4.5 sacks for Lewis, 1.5 sacks for Ivy, Caldwell, and Jones each have a half a sack apiece. Interception by Foster. Texas Southern comes into this game. Obviously, like I said, they lost 20-19 to Prairie View. They have 6 first downs rushing, 10 passing, 2 by penalty. That's 18 first downs. The opponents, 5 first downs rushing, 11 passing, 1 by penalty. 17 first downs total. Texas Southern ran for 176 yards on 42 carries, 4.2 yards per carry. No touchdowns. The opponents, 88 yards per carry on 88 yards on 30 carries, 2.9 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. Texas Southern was 25 of 33 passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 172 yards. The opponents, 20 of 41, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 228 yards. Texas Southern, 348 yards of offense on 75 plays, 4.6 yards per play, 2 touchdowns. The opponents, 316 yards on 71 plays, 4.5 yards per play, 2 touchdowns. Texas Southern, 6 of 16 on third down for 37%, 0 for 1 on fourth down. They fumbled 4 times and lost both of them. 3 sacks, 3 of 3 in the red zone, 2 of those 3 were touchdowns. 2 of 13 for the opponents on third down, 15%, 2 of 4 on fourth downs, 50%, 4 sacks. They didn't fumble the ball at all. 4 for 4 in the red zone, 2 of those 4 were touchdowns. Texas Southern is led in rushing by Ladarius Owens. 16 carries, 109 yards, 6.8 yards per carry, no touchdown. Ja'Cory Howard, 11 carries, 53 yards, 4.8 yards per carry, no touchdowns. Jalen Nelson, 5 carries, 24 yards, 4.8 yards per carry. Devin Williams, 3 carries, 3 yards, 1 yard per carry. Thaddeus Payton, 7 carries, minus 13 yards, minus 1.9 yards per carry. Payton led the team with 18 of 22 passing, 132 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Williams, 7 of 11, 40 yards, no touchdowns, 1 interception. Receiving, Keelan Davis, 4 catches for 47 yards, 11.7 yards per catch. Thurman Morbley, 4 catches, 37 yards, 9.2 yards per catch. Jyren Johnson, 3 catches, 29 yards, 9.6 yards per catch. Osby Mitchell, 3 catches, 24 yards, 8 yards per catch and a touchdown. Jonathan Giles, 2 catches, 13 yards, 6.5 yards per catch, 1 touchdown. Pippins, 1 catch, 11 yards. Kenny, 1 catch, 7 yards. Defensively, Tyreek Cooper leads the team with 7 tackles, Walton and Pippins with 5. Anderson, Badejo, and Murray each have 4. Martinez, Williams, Prince, and Walker with 3. Hamilton and Johnson each have 2 tackles. Tackle for loss, Cooper and Anderson with 2. Pippins and Badejo, 1.5. Hamilton, 1. Walton and Chance each have 1/2 a tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, Anderson, Pippins, Badejo each have 1 sack apiece. Interception, Williams and Benjamin each had 1. So this is going to be a game that's going to be a test of, honestly, a test of what Southern is going to bring to the table. It's important for them to come out and play some consistent football. They've yet to do that. Turnovers and penalties have eaten Southern alive and really thwarted any kind of positive offensive momentum that they've been able to have. And defensively, they're allowing a lot up the middle. The defensive line, especially the tackles, have to play a lot better. Linebackers have to make some plays. And the secondary is getting beat in untimely situations. So Texas Southern really can come into this game loose and just play to play and see where it takes them. The pressure is on Southern coming into this game because they have the expectations and they have not lived up to those. And time is running short with, a short season, and you're already basically 2 games into the season. 3 if you count the Alcorn game, there are 3 games into the schedule with basically 4 left to play. So not much time. So Southern really has to have a sense of urgency in this game, and Texas Southern can kind of play, you know, let it all hang out and see, you know, see what happens. If they can catch Southern, you know, coming in still unsure of themselves, coming off of a bye week off of a bad loss, then Texas Southern is going to cause some problems for Southern. And the last couple of years, this game has been close. But I think Southern is going to dig deep and find a way to get this done. I'm going to say 30-19. It's going to be an ugly game. I think it's going to be a game where Southern score a late touchdown to kind of pull away. And I doubt it'd be a very crisp and pretty game because Southern just has not played that kind of football yet this year. Texas Southern still on the hunt for that elusive win. And I think they're going to have to wait another week to get that right now, because I think Southern's going to just persevere and find a way to win. That, you know, their heart has been tested. This is a, you know, a test the heart, you know, see what they got. And they're going to have to prove that they have what it takes to get over the hump. And Texas Southern is going to have to keep fighting. You know, like I said, they don't have much time left on their schedule. So they're going to have to prove what they can do. And you know, if they can get this game, I think it'd be a good feather in their cap. But I think right now that Southern have just a little bit more than what Texas Southern brings to the table. So Southern will find a way to get the W. And that's going to do it for this week's show. Like I said, we only have a few games on the schedule. Not a whole lot to cover. Again, if you missed out, Prairie View is not playing Alabama A&M this week. Prairie View has a COVID issue, so they're going to miss this game and next week's game against Jackson State. So, I'm still surprised. I'm still not surprised that week by week if we don't get every game in. I will be surprised if we do get all games in each week, because this is just, you know, one of those situations where you have to kind of go into it week by week, you know, expecting the unexpected. So, again, my name is Charles Wells. Facebook.com/SWAGTalk, Twitter.com/SWAGTalk76, Instagram.com/SWAGTalk, and SWAGTalk76@gmail.com is the email address. We'll see you guys on Sunday as we recap all the action, and have a good rest of your week. Stay safe, mask up, social distance, and keep an eye out on your loved ones. We'll see you guys on Sunday.